This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody. It's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys. This is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bow Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Really, really not that good.
Episode number 115 of the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. As usual, right here at 1600 Buckslayer Place, right here in the Buckatorium. That's the studio that we're in for any new listeners. We're right here in scenic Sherrard, Illinois. Sherrard, Illinois, for new listeners, too. Sorry, we're always getting new listeners, and we're happy you guys are here. I'm Steve. In the studio right now is Kurt, Eric, and Moneybags, Mark Reif. Guys, middle of deer season. It's the middle of rut. I've checked Facebook. All the memes say so, and I've seen that squirrel. And
tomorrow's the apocalypse in Illinois.
Yeah, and you know what?
It's, hey, I'm good.
Oh, man.
I'm
good. Hey, you know what?
It's good in Iowa.
I'm good for another 2 weeks.
Tomorrow is the start of shotgun season, which here's a huge thing.
As all the guys at work have been saying, little buck season.
Yeah, little buck season. You know, I've always wished every shotgun hunter to be safe, but I hope they have awful weather, and I hope the deer are bedded down all weekend just to make it through the weekend, little buddies.
Well, I think your wish is coming true, Steve.
Yeah, it's going to be terrible weather, and I am grinning ear to ear. However, it's kind of bittersweet because this
year... We're joking half-half.
Sort of.
Not really. I'll say I'm not. But this year is different because Illinois DNR actually, as of a few months ago, and we've confirmed it, you know, there's internet rumors going around. They put it on their Facebook, so...
It's legit.
We talked about it for like a day trying to figure it out, didn't we?
Yeah, and I called a couple DNR officers. Here's the deal, and you know, good luck trying to do this now. But if you have a valid firearm tag and you have a valid FOID card and you're on private ground and wearing blaze orange, you can legally take a deer with your bow or any archery. I think they... If you're disabled, I think you can still do with a crossbow. They said any legal archery device in the first season you can use. So that's awesome. You know, now we don't have to sit around, you know, just knowing that everything we've worked so hard for is getting blown away by a slug. Again, we're only kidding, but It is that time of year.
It's a weird time, man, because there's like a... We won't get too far into it. We got other things to talk about, but it's like a weird divide in a way, which is... It's unfortunate there's a divide, but it's different types of hunting, like archery versus gun. And that's like a big thing. Like, you talk to someone, oh, do you bow hunt or gun hunt? Well, then that dictates how your conversations are,
yep.
Which is a good... it's probably more of a negative thing when you really look at it all the way through, but it's almost... You know what you can and can't talk about. Like,
uh-huh.
Oh, I've only gun hunted. Well, you've spent... You know what I mean? You haven't really hunted that much, in my opinion, I guess. Am I going to get shit for this?
You might a little bit, but it's all right.
But here's the other thing, too. I mean, you see a lot of guys that are so stoked. Like, when they shoot, they're like, it's my first buck with a bow or my first deer with a bow. And it seems like, you know, they might be more excited because archery is more of a challenge. And that's there's nothing that you can argue with.
Is it the Fred Bear quote where a gun hunter's hunt ends, a bow hunter's hunt begins?
Exactly.
That's exactly how I was. I gun hunted forever. And once I shot one with a bow, I never gun hunted again after that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really not a problem. If you gun hunt, I mean, hey, at least you're getting out there. You know, you're filling meat. Just kind of, you know, bittersweet.
We're poking fun. But like, saying that, I've killed deer with guns.
Mm-hmm. I think we all have here.
I'm a muzzle. I've never killed deer with a shotgun. I'm a muzzleloader guy, which doesn't make it any different. Shoots further. You just only get one shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'll get the tags. And, like, this year I got tags because I'm like, well, that's days in November that I can't hunt with my bow and I don't have vacation time. I'm going to go out with the muzzleloader. Well, this changed. And now we can go with our bow in Illinois, and I'm going to just go with my bow with Blaze Orange on, just standing out. What's up,
yeah,
guys?
Yeah, there you go.
What's up?
Yeah.
Standing up in a tree, you mean?
Just waiting, looking standing across up, the field, seeing guys pushing deer. Oh, great. Awesome.
Pushing deer right underneath you. Yeah. Hey, buddy.
Hey, don't cross that fence, but thank you.
Best time for your neighbors to help you out.
Walk underneath you. Hey, you hunting? I was.
Yeah, I was until, you know.
Did you see anything?
Yeah, so anyway, I mean.
It's too bad they announced it so late, though, man. Because I tried to go down and get a tag for my county, and they were sold out.
I couldn't believe I got a tag.
I was like, great.
I got an either sex tag. Like, after we heard that, after work, I went, and I was like, I wasn't even optimistic. I was like, I better check just because. And they legitimately had a tag, and I got one. I was like, there's no
It's by design,
way.
You think?
Well, yeah. are they usually always sold out every year?
Not always.
I mean, usually.
You had to, I mean, I wouldn't wait like with Steve. Well, Steve got lucky.
Yeah.
really lucky. Normally, if I'm like, oh, man, I should probably get a tag. I forgot to apply. To go down the first, second day, you can get them.
Yeah, usually.
Do you think this, I mean, because they passed this law, they sold a lot more tags?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think there's still a quota for every county.
I think there's guys like Kurt who, you know, I remember you said, you're like, hey, dude, I bought a firearm tag because. And I remember you, like, went out of your way to text me, and I was like, I'm not going to judge you, but all of a sudden this comes out, and you're like, awesome.
This really happened? Oh, I thought I'd let you know, man. I bought a firearms tag. hope you're there to comfort me in my desperate times.
I was, Steve. Actually, you know what? He didn't text me. We were in the car together, and we sat and cried a little bit in the Walmart parking lot, but, you know, it's all with the territory.
See, in Iowa, though, we don't have a quota for our any-sex tags. No, it's just a quota for the doe tags.
Interesting.
So you can go anytime and get any sex tag.
Well, I wonder, it's different, though, because you guys can only kill one buck, right, in Iowa?
Correct.
A year?
And well, I mean, like one buck bow, and then you can get an any sex tag for a shotgun or a muzzleloader.
Yeah, you can kill two bucks over
you
there.
You can kill two. But,
okay. Yeah. Well, it's kind of the same thing here. You just can't. It's the same thing here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And over here on this side of the stream.
Except over here, you can kill as many does as you keep buying tags for.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, see, our counties have quotas for our doe tags. So,
next year, do you think they'll issue more tags to... I hope they don't, because that'll make for bigger deer in our future, because
yeah.
I think
yeah.
a lot of guys are going to bow hunt. Right.
Somebody said they thought maybe, and I kind of agree with them, maybe like a hybrid tag or like a special, but, you know, you have to be on private ground, which isn't...
Yeah, but they're not going to issue... Are they going to issue more of those either sex tags?
I'm curious.
I think you keep the same quota, but you just have a harder time in the lottery if people Ooh. More people apply, you know?
That's... Yeah? That'll generate revenue.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is... we could talk about four episodes on this topic.
But we need to move on. We just thought that was a big topic that we need to talk about.
Absolutely.
You know, it is the middle of deer season. We keep on pushing on. Could not do it without the help of our friends.
HHA Sports.
HHA Sports.
Scott Bakken from HHA. He's been on the show. He's in Kansas right now on the struggle bus right now getting after a deer. So we're trying to – We're trying to push some good luck his way. So luck of the podcast. We're trying to push it that way a little bit.
Hopefully something dies for Scott, you know.
We'll fan it down there.
Speaking of Kansas, is Dan Drake from Scent Crusher still – is he still in Kansas?
I don't even know. I do not know. I know that dude's busy. So. The guy's everywhere.
Man, I love that guy. Scent Crusher. Guys, go check out everything that they've got. I know we've been using some of the bags and the Ozone Goes.
In the closets. In the closets. Amazing.
Mark, you want to pass me an HHA koozie over there?
Yep.
I love it.
I'm really asking for one, but it was a good plug.
No, no, those are good koozies, actually. That's like the best koozie I've ever used. But Smith's Custom Meats and Deer Processing. Scott, right down there in Viola, he's going to have a busy weekend this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is probably his busiest week. I mean, busiest time of the year, ain't it? This weekend.
Without a doubt.
This right here, this weekend pays his mortgage for the next 7 years. Yeah. It's just this weekend alone.
So, yeah, veteran shout-out. Who you got? Do you have anyone specific? Or
Man, you know what? I want to bring it back to HHA, and we always shout him out. He's a good buddy of ours, Gene Miller. Gino, I mean, you know, well, I'll shout him out. Every week, I don't care.
Describe
that's just
HHA
how good
sent out veterans, like their special
edition,
special edition T-shirt, and Gene got one, and we're gonna share the picture. The shirts are awesome.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
It's like a sand brown, or I guess whatever you want to call it. I don't know.
Yeah, they took care of all the vets that shared, and he's super appreciative. And you know, I do want to take a genuine moment out. You know, we haven't really talked about it, but you know. Shot a doe on Friday, and you know everybody gave me the congratulations, like we all do, you know, in the chat or whatever, text messages. But when Gene just all he said was, "Hey, congrats, buddy." For some reason, it's just because that guy is like one of the greatest human beings I've ever met.
So you just felt like a deeper appreciation.
I don't know. I just started like choking up, and I was like, you're such a good person to be telling me this. Oh my God. And like, I you know, there's.
Since that doe, Steve has joined 14 pro staffs.
Oh yeah.
He's telling us how to hunt.
Exactly, guys. Yeah. You know how it goes. But, yeah, no, that was,
you know, Gene means it. Gene's awesome.
Yeah. That's the thing, you he's know, so he's sincere. So genuine. Yeah. And you know, I want to take this time, as we're thanking him, I want to share with a quick story. I get a text from him one day. Hey, what are you doing? Nothing, sitting in my house. Okay. I got something for you. What? He's like, what's your address? So I give it to him, and he shows up, there's a knock on the door, and I open the door, and there is Gene holding a Stone Cold Steve Austin t-shirt. And he's like, dude, he goes, I don't know if you'll fit into this. He's like, but I was buying my kid a game, and I saw this, and it was like for $1 because we bought it. And I go, I know he's going to like that. And he bought it, and he was so excited to give it to me. And he's like, you know, wear it if you want, if you don't fit into it. And I still have that shirt, and every time I look at it, I think of Gene. I can't fit into it yet. It was only like 1X.
We need to do a thing where our listeners need to, like, just they see Stone Cold Steve Austin shirts, just send them into you.
Yeah.
My goal is to make it to where you wear nothing but Stone Cold Steve Austin t-shirts.
You
wouldn't be mad about it.
No, I can make that a possibility. But, you know, Gene is a veteran, and, you know, without guys like him, you know, we couldn't do this podcast. Went off the deep end a little bit, but we're just so – I appreciate everything he did for this country and just everything he does just as like a as a friend. You know what I mean? So I don't want to keep dragging along, but Gene, thank you so much for your service and thank you for being a good friend. Now let's get into
it. If we talk any longer, Gene, Steve's going to get a little weird with you. You know what
I know. Gene, listen, there was this way you were wearing
on the podcast
shirt
today. The company WinPro, David from WinPro, is going to join us and tell us about their product and kind of
what it's all about.
Yeah, get into the company a little bit. WinPro, I've been seeing them everywhere. Our buddies, the Lindsays from the Lindsay Way, use them. And that's really what got us kind of curious about the products. And we've had the chance to kind of play with it, or me and Eric have. And Steve and Mark, I don't know if you've...
No, I used it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I went out yesterday.
We have one right now in the studio open, and we'll explain it, and we'll have links to all of it in the description of the episode. So we'll get David on here, and hope you guys enjoy.
So with us on the phone right now, as we speak, We're speaking to him. We've got Dave Healy from WinPros. Dave, how are you doing this evening? Because it is evening.
Hey, guys. I'm doing very well. How about you?
Man, another day in paradise.
I'm doing fine because I've killed a deer already. Steve's doing good. He's killed a deer already. But we got two people in here, Dave, that are a little frustrated with their season.
We're passing.
Eric and Mark are struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
Passing little ones.
Oh, I love it. Now, you guys, we sent you some product to check out. Did you have a chance? I think you've only had it for a couple of days, so not really. You're not really able to give it a good test once over, but how did you use it?
We got to play with it. You sent us two doe estrus and then two dominant buck. Mm-hmm. Mark's the only one who hasn't got to play. Mark's our taxidermist. Mm-hmm. Deer knowledge expert here. So he's busy mounting dead deer and doing what he does. So, but
they like it.
I put some out on a scrape, some of the doe estrus stuff, and I actually used it as a wind checker too, because I figured, you know, it's that time of year. Why not puff a little bit into the air, see what the wind's doing, and get that doe estrus smell out into the wind there?
Sure.
Sure. It's convenient. I got to say, I like it better than liquid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't make a mess.
Right. So, did you use yours at all, Steve?
Yeah, I did. I actually got to get out yesterday, and I found I picked up another property just like a week ago, but I went back to the old property that I was hunting because it was closer, and I found a new scrape, and I put a little bit in, and, if I can talk about maybe my experience about, what I thought about it so far.
Your trail camera?
What?
That picture you got?
No, that was at,
different ground. Okay.
Yeah. So, when I opened the package, I was kind of, messing around with it a little bit. And, the first thing I thought, I was like, dude, I know I'm going to like this product because, like Kurt does, where he checks wind a little bit. It was just super soft. I put it on a scrape and it's like follow directions. Directions are real easy. Put a little bit on there. And the best thing about it was like, it had a little clip on it. And I was like, man, this is super easy. Even I could figure it out, and I was just pumped, man. I was like, yes! Finally, I don't have to have something in my pocket where I've got to, like, reach for, because I had some of the other, wind checker stuff, but I don't know.
Steve's all about ergonomics here, Dave.
I am. I don't like things being too difficult, you know what I mean?
Yep, I totally understand. The initial design was without the, talk about ergonomics, the initial design was without the dimples on there. And we figured, most of us bow hunters in particular are going to be wearing gloves when we're handling it. And let's put some dimples on there to, make it really easy for you to kind of grab and hold on to. And obviously the carabiner was the big thing. It just makes it very simple. Clip it right to your binoculars or your belt loop and you're good to go. And obviously, the ease, you don't have to mess around with any liquids. And, the liquids, they can be difficult. They can be messy. And there's a better chance of contaminating these scrape sites, with liquids. Because, how do you get liquid on a licking branch, which we believe are the key to these mock scrapes, without touching it, contaminating with human hands. Or, the hands are probably the stinkiest part of us, and mm-hmm. anything we touch, you can pick up on it. It's pretty crazy. But, it's been a fun ride, but, obviously, we're challenged with a couple of things. We've been around for 5 years or so, a little over. And, the challenge for us has been, we're synthetic. I think synthetics have kind of a bad rap throughout the industry.
Right. People are skeptic about it?
Yeah, they're pretty skeptical about it. I've heard good things. Obviously, I've been studying these mock scrapes and studying what's out there in the marketplace and, trying to get a firm grasp. And I like to talk to people about it. But, the synthetics, haven't had a good
good route. And then, you know, here we are at four states that have banned urine-based sets now. So now suddenly it kind of, we become more cognizant about that. We kind of believe that more states are going to jump on that same bandwagon, unfortunately. But, and then the other thing is the challenge is it's a powder. So, okay, we've got synthetic and we're powder. And you know how skeptical we hunters are.
Right. Yeah.
We are.
About everything.
So it's been a challenge for us. I don't know if you all have been to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thewindpros, for the past 5 years, you know, all we've been doing is taking these timely mock scrape videos. We run about, 36 cameras in a couple of different states, and we have field staffers and pro staffers that send us videos. But all we do is post these videos constantly. And, we've generated a pretty great following from that. I think we're close to 30,000 followers on Facebook, Instagram. We're slowly climbing, but, the content is really neat because everybody loves to see a big buck, but, everyone else and particularly our competitors, they put these still photos up on social media, you know, TV spots and that. And you can't see what the deer is doing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a deer standing there. But what we found is when we were running our trail cameras on video, we get to see a deer being a deer. Mm-hmm. We get to see the deer, rub the tarsal glands together, interact with the licking branches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is fabulously interesting. And I think the content is great. So I think people are eating it up. But at the same time, you get a lot of guys that are skeptics and they're like, yeah, that's not real.
Right.
Or these are pen deer and and it's like, it was kind of funny when we first started, posting these videos and we like to post big bucks, big matures,
Right. Right.
Cause if you can fool a mature whitetail, that's something. And so we're constantly posting these big bucks on there. And we got guys and gals going, yeah, these are pedigree. That's fake. And this is my baby. I invented it. Hard not to take personal, but
it's kind of
funny. I started to, I would respond to everyone's comment, not in a negative way, but just like, this is legit. This was here. This was on, public land. This is on private land.
Right.
And then eventually it kind of morphed into every video I put together, I'll put all Wind Pro videos are 100% wild fair chase whitetail.
it's sad. You had to clarify that because it's Facebook. Everyone can just call anybody out on anything. Like,
yeah, you must be on a closed archery group or something.
Come on, man. Yeah. So some of the archery groups won't say exact names. You can post something. You have 100 people rip you on it and give you crap about something.
Yep.
But like you said, like hunters were so skeptical about products we use, and I think it's the time put in and people have had something work really well for them and something else not work so well. And so like a new product or something different, like how you said synthetic, it's kind of like, whoa, well, synthetic. So can you kind of explain how you get the scent in the powder and how it all kind of goes together?
Well, it's pretty darn complicated. I'm not going to lie to you.
You don't got to give away your secret formula, but can you kind of give us like a
Chinese secret?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it was kind of a, I don't know how you could say it. I guess it was kind of an accident because initially, we started making this for scent blocker. And, this was 7 years ago. We had just the wind setter. It's kind of an interesting story, but it takes a long time to explain. But so Scott Schultz from Scent Blocker was like, "Hey, can you put the Scent Blocker logo on that wind checker?" And we said, "Well, sure, mm-hmm. we could do that. We'd be happy to." And we figured, you know, they would sell a lot of them and would just become the original equipment manufacturer for them and done that.
Right.
So, but we started manufacturing this for them, putting their logo on it, and then they came back at us. I think it was Scott's idea. He said, "Hey, can you put a scent in there?" And I have to backtrack for a second. And for me and my business partner, Brian Troxell, they said, "Oh, we'll put a scent in it." Now, we were avid non-scent guys. you know, there are a lot of us.
Yeah, I was one of those guys.
Yep, me too.
Yep. Yep. I mean, you could not pay us any amount of money to use a scent. I mean, we had Minnesota primarily, and we call them, you know, PhD deer. I mean, every one of them, I think, is, you know, passing their Mensa exams with flying colors.
I love that. I'm using that from now on. That's a great. I love that.
PhD deer. But, yeah, so we were like, "Oh, great. Yeah, well, we don't really want to do that." And, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And we said, "Okay, they want a scent." So we, and this took forever. It took a year just to produce a couple of physical samples to try it. But, so we had to come up with a synthetic. We knew we had to go synthetic. Can't do it. It's a thing with natural deer urine. So, so we formulated some issues with using synthetics, but the synthetics are oil-based products. So we had to figure out a way how to turn an oil-based product into a powder and then incorporate that into our wind checker. And, you know, we Brian and I were just adamant, you know, this wasn't going to work. It's just going to spook them. And so it was my idea. I mean, this was a scented wind checker. And so it was my idea. I said, "Well, you know what? I'm going to make some mock scrapes. I'm going to puff the powder on the licking branches. I'm going to puff some, make a scrape, and I'm going to throw one of those video cameras." We used to run with those wildlife eyes. Do you remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I remember seeing the prototypes was in like a plastic ammo can back in the day. And you hooked and you hooked your little Sony Handycam to it. And it was like, because 35 millimeter trail cams were like the thing.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, back in the day when they just started doing HD, those Handycams. So we started doing that, but what a great product that was. It was just not very, let's just say we've come a long way, right?
Yeah, technology passed it and kind of deleted the wildlife eye.
Yeah, exactly. But it was a great camera, and it didn't spook, the IR glow didn't spook deer as far as we could tell. But anyway, you know, so Brian and I are talking. Well, okay. And I said, "Well, I'm going to make some mock scrapes. And I'm going to throw a trail cam over it." And he goes, "Well, we're not testing it on my property."
Well, why would you?
Yeah.
Brian, he lives in Rochester, Minnesota, and he's got an 80, which is in southeast, and that's, you know, hill country. Mm-hmm. Trout streams, big Minnesota deer. That's where our giants are. And, yeah, he was adamant. He goes, "We're not testing it on my property." I'm like, "Oh, fine, okay, well, We'll do it on mine." And so, you know, I just made one, threw the camera up, and left it there for a week. And I came back fully expecting, you know, negative reactions. And, well, I'm looking at the footage, and, you know, there's doe, and there's another doe, and there's doe, and they're licking the powder off the licking branches. Mm-hmm. They're utilizing the scrape. And then there's a young buck, and there's a, you know, 3.5-year-old on it. And I'm like, "What? No way." So I called Brian and I said, "Buddy, you're not going to believe this, but I've got video of the deer actually licking the powder off the licking branches." He's like, "Yeah, oh, come on." So I showed him the video And he's like, oh, wow, okay, well, let's give it a go on my property. And then fast forward 5 years, we literally have thousands of hours of video of these deer, you know, matures coming back. And, you know, it's just crazy to us. I mean, for the past 3 years, every November would come by and we'd just like scratch your heads going, why aren't we sold out? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the answer to that is we're synthetic. We're powder. We've got a very skeptical audience out there. And we'll just try and prove it to people one customer at a time.
Well,
right. And,
I was just going to say, you know, you got to wonder, the guy who invented the first spinner bait, someone's like, oh, you're not using a worm? It's like, hey, look, it's not real. I wonder if it'll work. Hey, man, you know, if I'm just saying, if fish have caught on, you know, to like, you can use like a plastic worm, who knows? You know, I mean, yep. you always got to be optimistic about things and things. And we are here too. I mean, we're willing to always give things a try.
Right.
And, you know, we're curious.
I remember seeing the product come out on the commercials on hunting shows at least 5 years ago and always thought, boy, that's really cool. Because you even had the video of the deer doing that to the licking branch and stuff way back then. And I'm not a big scent guy either, but I never ordered it, but I always wanted to. And so I just thought, you know, it's kind of a different thing. Like you said, with the liquid, it's kind of a mess where this, you know, powder can stay on the branches. Even if it rains, I would imagine that it would still
hold up a little better. Even up, like on the bottom of the branch, if you can
hold up a little better, even if it goes down to the ground, I think it would, you know, it'd almost be better than liquid because liquid seemed to be
evaporate.
Yeah. Evaporates eventually. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we put a
little extra something in there to that makes the moisture reactivate it. So we tell guys, you know, a lot of people say, hey, well, how often do you refresh? And, you know, the good answer is, you know, 2 to 3 weeks, unless you've had a torrential downpour, and then you probably want to refresh it. Just like the bucks will do, you know, when you have a big, heavy precip event come by, they will frequent those sites and remark them because they want their scent there too.
Well, I'm pretty excited because we put this on, I think, 5 scrapes tonight, so we're really excited to see what happens.
Cool. Yeah, awesome. Now, where are you guys hunting out primarily?
So do you know where, well, I'll ask you this, do you know where the Quad Cities are in Illinois, Iowa? Yeah, we're... Our studio is just south of the Quad Cities. All the Illinois boys are pretty close. Eric is the only Iowa boy.
Yep, I'm the odd one out.
So, but yeah, just south of the Quad Cities. And then for people who don't know, we're always like, you know where John Deere's made in Moline? Just south of there.
Yeah. Pretty soon it's going to be, hey, don't you know where the Working Class Bowhunter podcast is? Yeah, about 20 miles north of where the Quad Cities is. So, you know,
I love it. Well, give it some time. You know, we've been preaching to start your scrapes early. And in fact, just this year, we started running the dominant buck all year round. Obviously, you know, scrapes are visited year round. And you can get to, you can actually make a mock community scrape. And I've never really done that. I mean, I've put some out in April and March and on occasion just to see how it worked. And, you know, I got some interaction, but this is the first year. A guy from Nova Scotia actually said, you're running this year round, right? And I'm like, no. He goes, you need to. He did last year. And so Nova Scotia gets it. They have been, you know, they've been dealing with the urine-based ban for, I think, the past 6 seasons.
Really?
And they're into their hunting up there, but we cannot keep the product on their shelves.
Really?
We've sold out, I don't know, probably a dozen times in the 5 or 6 retail shops we're in up there. They cannot keep it on their shelves.
There's a urine ban up there?
It's probably
because urine-based sense. Yep.
Disease or something.
Yes.
Really?
CWD. It's the same thing that's going on in Arkansas and Virginia and in parts of Pennsylvania and Texas. They're concerned about CWD, and so they're banning the urine-based scents. And the states, the DNR are concerned about are the deer farms where it's collected. That's where, they're finding some issues about CWD. You know, remember when the elk farms were everywhere and they got shut down in a heartbeat because of the same disease, rifled through that whole industry. It's been shut down.
I would think that would be where the synthetic would take over, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you would think. So, I think we're poised to, I think we're poised to do well, but, without, any bans in place or whatever, we feel so strongly, we've been convinced how well the product works. Now we're just trying to convince everybody else, and it'll start with you guys. I'm excited that you called it out. Give it a little time. As I was saying, we pre-starting it early with the dominant buck, and then as the rut approaches, you add the dough into it. We're just putting the dough in.
Hey, Dave, sorry, your phone just got pretty muffly. I don't know what went on there.
Oh my goodness! Probably a power surge in the refrigerator.
There you go.
Okay. What, do you open it up to get a couple cold ones or something?
I wish.
Wait a minute. Are you on a landline?
I am not in a landline.
Okay.
No.
All right.
It sounds good now, but
You know what you said with the bans in those states on the deer urine? I just kind of was brainstorming. I wonder if you could infuse this powder into a plastic. To where you could just pull this plastic thing out of a bag, hang it from a tree branch, and it would smell.
Just and over time, kind of dry out.
Yeah.
You mean my scrape lines?
Yeah, Mark.
Scrape lines. I didn't understand what you said.
Well, yeah.
That is actually what we're working on next.
Oh,
really?
Oh, hey, I'm really smart. About this.
I'm really smart.
We didn't give it away, did we?
Sorry.
I just gave the Wavefront from a podcast the name of it too. It's kind of funny. A couple of these mock scrapes I have on my farm, the deer just wore out the licking branches. I mean, it destroyed them. And I've got this great perfect spot. It's a pinch point, leading from bedding to a food source.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the deer love to scrape the air out, but they just decimated this overhanging limb, so there's nothing there. So I thought, what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a grapevine, which they grow all over the place, and I'm going to tie one end, a loop in one end, and of course I'm using rubber gloves. So I tied a loop in one end of the grapevine, and then hung it on a limb that was a little bit higher and had the grapevine dangle down, to perfect, belly to eye height.
Mm-hmm.
And, puff a little powder on that. And now I'm doing that on almost everyone if I don't have perfect licking branches. For some reason, the deer just love the vertical hanging licking branches. Rather, I tried them on branches that are kind of curved up, and they'll interact with that. But anything that's kind of pointed down towards the ground, man, it's like a magnet to them. So, implementing that with some crazy success.
Well, I think I'm going to this weekend is gun weekend in Illinois. So I'm going to not tromp around the woods and sit because you can hunt with a bow now. But I think next week, we're getting into the end of November. I'm going to make some mock scrapes or find some scrapes that are pre-existing. And I'm going to put my camera over them on video. So can you kind of say someone gets this product? Can you run through the process of how much to put on the ground? what you try to yeah. put on the branches, and then if you try to do anything else and kind of making the perfect mock scrape or adding to an existing scrape?
Yep. Yep. You know, if existing scrapes are a no-brainer, and typically we'll puff the dominant buck, and we go really light. We tell people light, light, light. Just a couple of little pucks. A little goes a long way with our stuff. You know, we've had some guys that, you know, empty the bottle in one drink, and they're like, well, this doesn't work.
Hey, go big or go home, right? Spend all this money, better make sure it works. One scrape later.
Oh, my goodness. No doubt. Yeah, I'm going to empty it out. You know, no, you know, because each bottle you can make, you know, 15 to 30 mock scrapes. So wow. You go light. We think that's key. Yep. And, you know, if it's rut, right now it's go time in Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. We've
Midwest.
Seen the Facebook memes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going. It's on right now. So obviously we're running buck or both. So we're putting the dough in the scrape to heat them up. And then, but existing scrapes, I always love to hit it with dominant buck and then put a little dough in there too. But my favorite thing now you guys just put this out, so I'll give it some time. Now, typically scrapes are kind of ignored during the prime or the full on rut. Mm-hmm. When the breeding lockdown's going on, they're kind of ignored. However, that has not been the case on my scrapes, this year for some reason. But usually there's a 5 to 10 day period where I don't see much scrape activity at all, but that has not been the case this year. But typically, that has been the case. But my favorite time to monitor these scrapes is post lockdown. That's when I get the best videos and sightings of the matures. The matures love to come to these mock scrapes after lockdown. And they come back again and again. It's almost, you can set a clock to it. It's like every 2 to 3 days, they'll come back to that scrape to mark it and to see who's been there.
Huh. Is that so kind of like a end of the rut desperation thing by those mature animals that are, is that kind of what you think that is? Like they're getting kind of like, I'm going to check these scrapes, see who's in the area. And then that putting this into the scrape brings them back like, okay, there's something to it.
Something
like,
here. There's something here.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Who's that guy she's been running around with? He's not a man.
Yep. It's amazing what kind of information they can gain from their noses by these scents. They can basically get the approximate age, sex, obviously, and what estrus cycle they're in, whether they're coming into it or coming out of it by visiting these mock scrapes. Isn't that just crazy? Yeah.
It is nuts.
It blows your mind.
I mean, most people don't really know what, they just think, oh, it's just a buck, you know, marking like a dog pees on a
post or
fence post or yeah. And it is kind of like that. However, the difference being the dog's mark in his territory. But the dog actually, you know, smells what else has been there. But the bucks are actually gaining more information than say a deer would. I mean than a dog would. So
it's just
fabulously interesting.
Well, you know what's funny is kind of what you mentioned about the video, like how the wildlife eye really did change a lot in our industry. Like mm-hmm. that kind of was the evolution of the modern trail camera. But before that, like how you said, just pictures, you never really got to see what the deer was actually doing at like a scrape. And it's like now we can actually monitor that and see their body language and what they do and how they react. Like when you put this stuff out on scrapes, you can actually see how, like you said, people are doubting if they're real wild animals reacting to your product and like, you know, hopefully more of a positive way. But, you know, I'm sure deer might get spooky at anything because some deer are just like that. They have their PhD, if you will, which I'm going to use that forever from now on. So thank you for that. But it's just like some deer are so hard to fool. And I think that's where the skeptic mindset comes in for a lot of bow hunters. But like you said, we're getting into that post rut time where, you know, if you're when you're experienced, you're finding the mature bucks are coming back every 2-3 days checking this. It's I think it's desperation. Like the rut's closing up, they know it's their only time to get some.
Oh yeah, yeah. You,
next year.
You've been you've been to a bar at last call. You know, you're like, let me see. Oh yeah, okay, yeah, we're good here, gentlemen.
It's last call for these deer.
I got a solid question.
That's exactly right.
I got a solid question for you. A lot of times guys will say, oh, well, bucks only visit scrapes at night. Since you're the guy that probably has done as much video of scrape as anybody, what percentage would you say is at night compared to daytime? I mean, as far as a guy, you know, getting a chance to shoot that buck on the scraper, is it mostly at night, would you say?
Well, I'd say, you know, without the rut being in play, 90% of it is nocturnal.
Okay.
But during the rut, and particularly pre-rut, and particularly post-rut, meaning, you know, after lockdown, you know, the rut's still going on.
I would say we're in lockdown right now.
Yeah.
I'd say we're at the tail end of it. Yep.
And I had a 160-inch whitetail at 3:30 working a mock scrape yesterday.
Wow!
And that was daylight. So the daylight pickups, the daylight visits pick up dramatically around the rut. Definitely pre-rut. Definitely post-rut. And when I say post-rut, I mean, you know, after the you know, the heat of it, the heart of it,
after,
you know,
the
rut's
happens.
Still going on. Yeah, after the magic, they're still out there. So, and then I mean, it's not uncommon to see, you know, some mature show up at, you know, 12:30 on a mock scrape, you know, in December 3rd or 4th or 5th, you know, at least in Minnesota, Iowa,
right,
Illinois.
Well, when people say that about, oh, they only come at scrapes at night anyway, you know, you're still keeping that deer interested in what's going on in that area. So he may stay there longer. He may check
that
spot. Yeah, he may check that spot more often, you know, so it's not just that you're going to shoot him on the scrape. He might stay in that area longer.
That's a good point.
It's totally funny. You know, on my farm, I told you guys I've been running these mock scrapes year round. So throughout the year, I've posted, you know, over 100, you know, 2-3 minute videos of these deer coming back every time. And, you know, the caption I put up was like, would you buy a product that will bring these animals back to a certain location over 100 times during the season, would you buy it?
Heck yeah.
Of course you would.
Sold.
Of course you would.
You got to leave it out there.
Take my money now.
Well, they, you know, they would buy it if it wasn't synthetic and wasn't powder.
Right.
No.
That is
the thing. What
do you
get it in?
It's funny, like, you know the product and you know your customer because you can say that, like, this is why... Probably why we don't sell out everywhere is because, one, guys are weird about synthetic. Guys are weird about scent. That's just the way it is. It'll probably always be that way with certain people. I'm morphing over to the scent side. I was, for the longest time, I'm like nothing, not using anything.
Sounds like Kurt might use a crankbait next year.
But, you know, we had the Dave and Jeff Lindsay on the podcast, and I know they use the product, and it's like those guys are always on big deer.
But that's how this industry is. If one of your buddy uses it, and they're like, oh, I love it, then you're going to try it.
Yeah.
We say it all the time. Word of mouth is the most powerful thing in the hunting industry.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, but here's the thing, too. I mean, you know, if you say, well, even if you're a skeptic and you try it out, it's like, well, it doesn't. It doesn't attract deer. Well, it certainly hasn't, you know, pushed the deer away, because if you've put that product on and the deer is still checking it, even if you think it doesn't work, it's not pushing them away. Well, and the you've thing, got though, video proof, is, you know what I mean? So,
well, the thing is, though, too, though, like I put it on a scrape yesterday close to my stand, but I don't have a camera over it. Well, I might walk by that scrape, and I don't, since I don't have a camera over it, if all the activities happen at night and the deer are still in the area, I might think, well, it's not working, but I'm going to, this next week, I'm going to make some scrapes or find some existing scrapes and put a camera over it. Well, if it's all at night, like what Mark brought up, okay, even though all the scrape activities at night, that deer's still in your area. He's more killable than in that area than he was on the neighbor's property.
Uh-huh. Well, it's nice too because it's nice too because it's a powder, so you'll be able to tell if that dirt has been worked or not. Like with the liquid, if the liquid, it's just going to soak into the dirt. So
it's like an evidence. Like
you
a
never
crime
know.
Scene.
It could look a little bit different, but you don't really know.
No, it's true, but I will tell you a funny story. You know, we've over the the course of the last 4 or 5 years, we've had guys on social media go, "Yeah, I put it out, has it worked?" And my first question is, "Well, do you have a trail camera?" "Well, no, I don't have a trail camera." And I'm like, "Well, how do you know it's not working?" "Well, because there's no prints and there's nothing there."
Yeah,
and
I didn't win the lottery, guys. Well, did you check the winning numbers? Nah, I didn't do that. Yeah, maybe you should open the newspaper or something and take a look and see what you did. They're not going to call you. You know, you're not going to have bucks like, "Hey, dude, really like what you put down there. You squeezed it out of that squeezable yellow golf ball, so I was really happy." No, son, you got to, like, you know, there's some people that, yeah, are like, "Well, it didn't work because I didn't see deer." Well, cool. You know, like, there's some people that'll make you scratch your head sometimes. And
some products require a little bit of follow-up.
Yeah.
Right. Well, sometimes and you know what? If you've never really, had an experience, paying attention to what a natural mock scrape is, what kind of licking branches that they're using in your area, where they're doing this, if you're not paying attention, it's hard to. It's hard to do it, but some people think, our stuff, it's not magic. I mean, some people do say, do call it magic powder, but, you can't just put it on the Christmas tree in the living room and think that deer are going to come running. You got to put it in the right areas. Deer are particular on what trees they like to rub and scrape on, and it changes from all over. Mm-hmm. But I think their favorites are oak trees, but they love pines. They love apple trees. They love locust trees. So, those thorny ones.
Yep.
They look nasty. Like you don't want to get to too many adult beverages and then run into one of those to come out not looking too good. it's kind of amazing. The Lindsay's, that was pretty cool. We met David and Jeff at the first time ACA last year. And, these guys come from the jury school, right?
Yeah.
Mark and Terry.
Yep.
I don't want to get in any trouble, but I would say that Mark and Terry are probably the biggest non-scent guys in the industry. Yeah. Now, I don't know. I don't want to get in any trouble. They might be sponsored by somebody. But
no one listens to this podcast.
Oh, don't worry. Yeah,
oh,
good
goodness. But I don't know. But you'll never see them, using a scent or an attractant on their shows. At least I haven't seen them. Maybe they do.
Yeah.
But knowing that Jeff and David came from that school of thought, my first question to them was, "Guys, I'm pretty sure that you're kind of nonsense guys." And they kind of looked at each other and they looked down at the ground. You could see they're getting a little uncomfortable.
Right.
And, we're saying, guys, I'm like, "Guys, it's okay. You can be honest. I get it, because I was a nonsense guy 5 years ago. Absolutely true and true." And, so Basically, it has been my mission in life is to get those two guys, those probably the two guys that kill the biggest deer in the industry. I mean, they are really good hunters. Our biggest deal was to get these guys to try our product and get them to believe in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was more important to us to get the Lindsays to believe in the product than it was to, you know, sell out this year. Because those guys are influencers. And if they can use a product and show it work and then become believers, you know, they're telling guys like Greg Ritz and, you know, Kyle Weeder and all these guys, they're telling people, holy crap, this stuff is legit.
Right.
You know, it's a big deal to us. But, you know, Jeff just sent me a bunch of trail camera footage on Mox Grapes. I just posted on Facebook a couple of minutes ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just giant deer coming back over and over again. So, you know, now they're believers. But, you know, I would have to say that January when I met them, they were like, this stuff isn't going to work.
That's funny, too, because, I think that the Lindsays killed the biggest deer out of all the Dream Season teams. Like, they're always on big deer. And man, we had Dave Lindsay on, like, probably three weeks before, then we had Jeff Lindsay on. And they are just some of the best guys in the industry.
David is a classic guy. You know what I mean? Like one of those,
no doubt.
You know, old-timer guys.
You just wish you were related to him.
Yeah, right, you're just like, you know, like, dude,
Why can't you be like my cool uncle? Yeah. Or like, you know what I mean?
He's so just the stuff he's like, oh, so polite and so such a great guy. And, you know, if those guys are swearing by it, you know, if that doesn't make you a believer, well, then you ain't gonna believe in nothing. Yeah, it's just kind of what
honestly, like what I said earlier, that's what got us into your product. And I was like, man, we got to get him on. Eric actually, right after we had the Lindsays on, the day after, Eric texted me. I was at work in a tractor in the field. He's like, man, we got to get these guys on, man. Like, I've seen the Lindsays are using it. We got to talk to these guys.
Because Jeff had it in their Snapchat one day like three or four times. So I'm like, let's see what this is about and let's check it out.
I think, Dave, I sent that to you in our email. I think I mentioned that we just did one with the Lindsays and we'd like to have you on. I thought I did anyway.
You did.
Yeah, right after Eric sent me that, I got on your website and emailed you right away. I'm like, that. That's a good plan.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so.
You know, and to take away from all this, you know, regardless if you're, you know, you're like, I don't want to do synthetic or anything, the ease of the checker, if you just get the wind checker.
Because
I've used other products where they're like the plastic bottle or the squeeze ones. It's a bottle.
Puff.
it doesn't puff, so yeah, you got to sit there and shake it. But, you know, the way that this ball is designed, I mean, it legitimately looks like a golf ball, and you just open up and squeeze it and check the wind, and it's, if you have a couple of them on there, because they're all rubber, they're not going to be clanking around. So, you know, you're like, I don't want synthetic, check out just the wind checker itself, because that's going to be the biggest tool for you.
And that's one of the things I'd never leave the house without, is a wind checker.
Yeah.
Really? That's funny you say that too, though, but. I have to dig for my wind checker. Normally, I'm like super, like, I won't go to a stand of like, unless the wind I know for sure is perfect. Like, I'll never go if it's iffy, but sometimes I'll get my wind checker out and I'm like, ooh, this isn't as good as I thought.
Right. Oh, yeah. Mine's always in my zipper pocket on my pants, so it's always stays right there all season.
I got an alligator clip with a little plastic thing and a little string with a turkey feather on it, and I watch it blow. And I use a wind checker, the duster too. So this is going to be awesome. In fact, I'll tell you what my dad and I do. We each got pine trees at our house. So every year, you know, like you said, sometimes the licking branch will get all torn up and broken, and then, you know, might not find a great place for the location of the scrape. So we'll take 2 6-inch pieces of wire, cut a little branch off our pine tree, and go put the scrape wherever we want, 30 yards in front of our stand, and we'll wire the branch on there and then put, you know, a dripper or something on there. So I can't wait to use this, because it's unbelievable. You put one of those pine tree branches, and those guys keep that thing clean all year long. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, God, my favorite thing about the wind checker is, oh my God, I'm just so, you know, so cognizant of what's going on with the wind. But the biggest thing is, you know, from the now, you know, AccuWeather and all the sites that are pretty darn accurate now, it doesn't give you the thermals, and too many of us don't really understand the thermals and the big deal about that. Now, if you've ever gone elk hunting, if you talk to guys that have been in the mountains hunting elk or muleys, they know the wind, and they will never ever go hunting without a wind checker. But guys, us flatlanders, us Midwesterners that have never done that,
yeah,
we you know, we don't get a chance to understand how the thermals work. But you know, how many times have you seen it? Oh my God, I was down just, you know, 10 yards dead downwind of these animals, and you know, oh, they didn't bust me. Well, they didn't bust you because the thermals are taking your scent right over above their head. Mm-hmm. And the wind checker gives you exactly what's going on with that thermal. But I only understood that in Colorado while I was elk hunting, because as soon as the sun goes down behind the mountains, that temperature starts to drop, and basically the ground temperature takes your thermals down towards the ground, and then as the sun comes up and rising, and that the sun hitting the the earth actually warms it, that actually takes your thermals up. Mm-hmm. But the same kind of thing happens here in the Midwest and all over the place. But I'm shocked that people, you don't read about, you know, or hear about people talking about thermals all that much. And clearly, in my mind, that's the most important thing. And you can't get the thermals from a weather report. You know, you can't.
Right.
You need something that will visually tell you
what I was gonna say. Yeah, my dad will always text me in the morning, and he'll be like, "Hey, I thought the app said it was going to be a north wind." And I said, wait a little bit longer. The sun's coming up, so that pushes those thermals down at first, you know. It gets colder right away, first thing in the morning. And it'll actually mess with your wind if it's like a 4-mile-an-hour wind. It'll change it completely what the weather app says.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sun will come up another 20 minutes later, and boom, all of a sudden the wind's going the phone said it was going to do. So, yeah, you're right with the thermals. It's a big difference.
Yeah, it's a pretty deep thing.
Well, it's a highly overlooked thing, like you just said too. And our good buddy Clark from Elites Respect the Game, he was just on the podcast a few weeks ago, and he was elk hunting. Was he in Colorado?
Yes, I think so.
Who was he? Was with Western Clark, right?
Yeah, Western Clark.
I thought he was out in Montana.
Oh, I can't remember. He was out elk hunting, and he said the same thing. He's like, those guys are so crazy about their wind because the thermals and the valleys. He's like, we'll be in on an elk, and like, he's like, we're getting into shooting range, and they're like, wind's changing. We gotta run. He's like, we gotta run back out, and we're gonna loop around. He's like, next thing I know, we're in on this elk. We're turning around, running the other way to get around to where the wind's right. And I'm like, I've never experienced this before. That's what he was saying, and it's just
And he was saying that wind checker never leaves that guy's hand. He's just all the time just puffing that thing.
Well, that goes to show you that's why stand hunting doesn't really work out there,
right?
Yeah.
So isn't that kind of it's unique though? But I hear it a lot. You know that I don't really use a wind checker. I got the traffic reports, and you know, it's hard to you know, you don't want to, you know, shove it down somebody's throat, but you just bring it up and just say, you know, well, you know, you kind of need them to get a read on the thermals, because the thermals are changing all the time. You just don't know.
Very
critical.
Well, David, we really do appreciate you coming in, taking your time to do the podcast with us, and it's definitely a different product, and I think it's definitely, sincerely to our listeners, it's worth checking out and giving a try.
Absolutely.
it's something different. And like you said, you know, people are skeptic, and it's cool that you recognize your market and why they might be iffy about the product. But I personally, that shows why it gives our listeners an even more reason to check it out, because you were a non-scent guy, just like a lot of hardcore bow hunters are. And that's, you know, you've been in that situation.
It's huge.
The way you explain your story is you kind of changed your mind by surprise of the product. It surprised you, and that kind of shifted you over. So it's definitely worth checking out for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I will leave you with one other thing. You know, with all of our trail camera footage we've compiled, which is a lot, we have never seen our product spook a deer.
Wow,
that's saying something.
That's a big statement.
Yeah,
I don't think any of our competitors can say that.
Yeah,
we have not seen it. We've never seen a deer spook from our powder.
And this probably doesn't go old like the pea, right? I mean, it's once it's in that bottle, it should stay good, right? Is there a shelf life?
Yep. Doesn't go bad.
That's probably why they get spooked too, because of old urine. I mean, I took some out the other day and it was brown, and I got a new bottle and it was like, you know, yellow. And I was like, wow, what a difference. I'll tell you what, I took the lid off this little container earlier and was going to get a smell, so I didn't puff it in my own face. I spilled a little on my pants in the bucketorium here, and Kurt's deer mounts are giving me the hairy eyeballs. This stuff works good.
Hey, it's bringing old bucks back to life. They're waking up like, oh, this is heaven.
They're getting their,
well, you know,
however many virgins.
Yeah.
Well, it works good in the bars too. I mean, you guys have to see my you have to see my girlfriend. She's really good looking.
That right there, that quote right there is just enough to try this product. Like, well, the thing is too, like, if someone walked outside, because the Buckatorium studio is inside my house, but if someone walked outside the door right now, you'd be like, okay, yeah, these guys are real deer hunters. It smells like,
a deer farm in
it
here.
It smells like November and in the middle of the rut now. Real good in the studio.
Oh, man, it is. Beer cans and dominant buck scent, whatever else we got in here.
Run around and puff it on all these guys.
Hey, there you go.
I love it.
Yeah, Dave, I'm excited to try this. You know, I've got the advantage of like a couple different properties to kind of see, you know, how it's going to work on these deer based on these deer, and I'm excited to see what's going on. Hey, I didn't mean brag, you know, or anything.
Steve's like, I'm the best, and I can hunt any property I want.
Get out of here. No, I'm very blessed with what I got. You know, it's incredibly cool, but yeah, it's just I'm excited about it. Yeah, I want to see what goes on with this.
Can't wait to use it too.
Well,
go ahead. I think you're going to be pretty pleased, and I want to hear your feedback, positive or negative. I want to hear it all. You know, I'm very passionate about it, and I really full-heartedly believe in the product. And I want you guys to become believers as well.
We got cameras on every scrape we did tonight, so there should be some feedback.
Awesome. And I'll do something this next coming week, and I know we all will. We'll definitely keep in touch with you. We'll let you know, and we'll send you pictures and all the feedback here. But
and you got to send us pictures of your girlfriend, because we're interested in that.
All right, perfect. You guys, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it. Great catch.
Stick around on the phone real quick. Guys, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this. Worth checking out. It's a product worth trying, especially for you non-scent guys. Come on.
Uh-huh.
Come on over to the dark side.
Yep,
and right here. But we just want to say thank you to all our new listeners that have really piled in over the last couple of months. It's been really great. Yep. The interaction online has been awesome.
If you guys have tried WinPro, you know, let us know. Go to our website, workingclassbowhunter.com. Find us on social media. Let us know if you've tried this and if you had any success or anything.
Definitely. And then thanks, you guys, for sending in the luck of the podcast post of your success in the field. We love seeing that. We had guys send a picture of a good buck hanging. They all had Bush lattes. Yeah,
no, one awesome. Guy had Bush original. We see you.
Bush heavy.
Luck of the podcast posts are coming in like crazy. I'm trying to get them all posted, try to get them all added to the website. We really love that. You guys want to add anything real quick before we go?
No, just remember, guys, you know, with if you're in Illinois, it is shotgun season. But if you have a valid firearm tag, a valid FOID card, and you're on private ground wearing blaze orange, you are legal to harvest a
any deer you want.
Yeah, any deer you want. I was with
150 inches
archery,
or bigger only. That's
yeah, come on, get real, guys. But with the legal archery equipment that was valid in the first part of the season. So just remember that. Make sure you're not breaking any laws. All right.
And if you're in Iowa, we're still going to be bow hunting. So
nothing changes for you.
No, nothing changes.
Mark, you got anything?
Either way. Nope, not really. Either way, you can go shoot your bow, right?
Hey, there you go.
That's right. All right, guys, we love you. Go shoot your bow. Thanks.